Hello, Bear fans.
Hello, Jerry.
My name's Matt.
What? We're live? We're not live, we're recording right now?
We're recording.
Oh, hello, Bear fans. I am Jason, and we sure are glad you've joined Matt and I
on the Talking Bear Football Podcast on westbranchfootball.com.
How about for the Talking Bear Football Podcast? What do you think?
Yeah,
is it still the same podcast?
No,
it'd be
for the Talking Bear Football Podcast on westbranchfootball.com.
Now that we've got that straightened out.
And this is episode 25.
Just think, this is 25, folks. You are so close to episode 13A that it's just on the tip of your tongue, and I know you can't wait. But we will get there.
I think we can make that happen. 26A and 26B.
26A and B. What episode did A and B last season?
Because it was 13, and it's...
How beautiful it is.
Because last year was before the second round, and this year would hopefully be before the second round.
Let's make it happen.
We got to.
This year it'll be better. I feel better, though.
I think we're getting a little better as we go along. I sure hope so by episode 25.
By episode 25, I think we're getting better, and I think by episode 10 of the Bears, the chapter that is the Bears football season, episode 10 for them... I think they're getting a little bit better.
I think it's step this
step
year.
Step 10?
I think we're going to go with step.
The next step. Step 10.
Step 10.
Yeah.
Because last year was chapter.
New kids on the block.
Step I think we're going to go step 10.
Step 10? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, step 9, Matt, of course, was Alburnett on Friday night. Bears, 24 points. Alburnett, 14. So that means the Bears came in first place in that game, which means they came in first place in Class 1A, District 5, that means they went 9-0. They went 1-0 nine times. Nine straight weeks of 1-0 football.
In our last 19 games, we're 18-1.
And the last 19 regular season games, what are we?
Last 19 regular season games? Well, we lost.
Try that again?
No, we won that game.
Won the 19th game of 2 years ago.
The ninth game?
Against Cardinal. So our streak.
Oh, that's right.
We have a 19-game regular season winning streak.
That's right. I thought that last game was Eddyville.
Eddyville was the eighth game.
Eighth game, that's right, where they threw that bomb at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, we're up 18-0.
That was a rough one.
I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That was we were up 14-0. Yeah, that's a long time ago. Things have changed. We're in first place now. We're rolling into the district. One of only two undefeated teams in Class 1A football, Matt. The other
Underwood.
One being Underwood. You're with me. Underwood always up to no good.
But, you know, I saw that stat of the two we're only two undefeated teams
in
Class
total,
1A.
Total. 9-0. Yeah.
Right. But you look at the other teams that are right there with maybe one loss. Regina, Dyke. I mean, I don't know.
But here's another fun odd to add on.
Not
to that.
Discrediting us, but they're good teams.
In district play, though, man, there were five undefeated teams.
Okay.
So it's not, not actually six. Take that back. So one, two, three. Check it out.
I know Regina's
undefeated in their district.
Yep.
Van Meter was undefeated in their district, and they're both 8-1. I believe St. Ansgar was undefeated in district 3 play, and they are 8-1. They lost out of district. And I'm thinking maybe South Central Calhoun was undefeated.
Underwood, St. Ansgar, West Branch, Regina, Van Meter, and South Central Calhoun.
Got them. Thank you.
Being the Double only checks. Two teams would be Dyke and Western Christian Hall.
Our one loss. And Dyke, New Hartford in District 4, Matt,
lost
Friday to Jessup, who is the 4 seed in that district. Well, they're tied for the third best record, but they are the 4 seed by way of Hudson beating them on the tiebreaker of heads up.
Did they?
Hudson, because Hudson is playing Wilton, who's in District 5. Wilton's the 2
Hudson,
seed.
Hudson, yep.
So, Hudson
Jessup
beat Jessup
won to
23
get in.
To, or 20-19.
Okay.
Hudson lost Friday to South Wind 14-12, who South Winneshiek, who are they playing in the playoffs in the first round?
I didn't look.
Alburnett. And let's
Holy
talk about
cow.
The Alburnett game 24-14.
I was
going to
say, let's
what
get back
your,
to that.
What is, did you like that segue?
Yeah.
We're getting really good
it
at
worked.
This. It
worked
for now. But 24-14,
for the people that
Matthew,
listen to this.
What, for the people we go out with, something like that, or we know.
Yeah.
What's your first impressions of that football game Friday night?
As we expected, they're a good football team. This was probably the best game, overall game that we've watched. all year. Just like throw both teams, you know, your loyalty to both teams aside. This was just a really good football game to watch. I've always liked their atmosphere up there. I don't know what it is about that field, but there's just something about how it's kind of just isolated in a way.
You're going to miss the old girl, aren't you?
I'm going to miss it. I mean, not the press box, but I'm going to miss the field. There's just something about that atmosphere that I really like in that field. And that the haze and the fog and stuff really, really added to it. I mean, which was weird because last year against Elbernett in Week 9 at the Little Rose Bowl, that was foggy as well. Yeah.
It's the only field that Best Branch goes to where you can actually pull a NASCAR move, go up the bank,
yep,
and then fly off. You know, Matt Schauber talked about that in the pregame.
Dangerous.
He said, I think I'm going to run up the hill and pull a NASCAR move. Those were his exact words in the pregame. Of course, that made Coach Telly Zuniga and Drew Finnegan very happy when he talked about that. But it's got that partial dirt on the sidelines from the baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a la the old Solon Spartans football field of yore for those that were around and played back in the EIHC days when the football, the visitor section went right into, the baseball field went right into the visitor side of the football field. But the weather, the rain stayed away during the game, Matt. But before the game, it did sog the field up a little bit.
Yeah.
And hopefully moms or dads or the kids who were ever doing the laundry were able to do their best.
Wearing the white.
Because it was...
we didn't wear the white pants.
We didn't wear the white pants because those might have seen a better day.
Yeah.
But...
No, it was
24-14. Yeah. It was that when I commented standing next to assistant coach Matt Hills on the sideline at the end of the game. Could it have been more? Do I think the score could have been more? The margin been more wide? Yeah. West Branch on their first drive, we fumbled going down inside the 15-yard line.
Yep.
We're gonna go. We had the mo that off the offense line was cooking.
Yeah.
Was 4, 5, 7 yards at a pop for Lennox. Mm-hmm. We were gonna score. Let's just say that.
We definitely left points on the board.
Definitely
that one there on the first drive, whether it ended in a touchdown or even a field goal.
Yeah.
But and then there were just some other, you know, little mistakes throughout the game, just drive-killing mistakes, really. Penalties would be, you know, one of those things that just, you know, it just stalled the drives and, you know, caused us to punt. And, man, Devin Kindon, he can punt.
Kid can punt.
I mean, we knew that. But, I mean, this game, that was important for him to punt.
Yeah.
As much as he had to punt, he didn't – I mean, there was maybe one or two times that Albernett had really good field position all night. But most of the time – you know, the punt team pinned the Pirates back. And the drives that they did score on, you know, they definitely deserved to score on those drives with how they just worked their way down the field. So, yeah, they're a good team. I think they're going to be a dangerous 3 seed.
Mm. There are some dangerous 3 seeds. And usually you don't say that, you know, look at districts, they're 1 or 2 deep.
Right.
They'll be fun for a team. They're going to be they're going to be hard to handle.
Mm-hmm.
But then we talked about that fumble, Matt. But look on what happened on the very next drive for Albernett. The Bears defense was
stout.
The Bears defense held. Then they go down and score, just like we expected them to do on the first drive. They went down and scored on the next drive.
Well, yeah,
and then on the next defensive drive, the Bears get them 3rd and 15.
Well, before you go there, I do want to mention after the Bears stopped Albernett on their first drive.
Yes.
Aaron Barnes, punt return.
There it
again,
is.
What, 39 yards.
And Matt gave him the record.
Gave him the record for punt return yardage in a season.
Yes. He's sitting a little bit over. He's sitting at about 350 right now. Mm-hmm. And the old record was 294 by @HoundDog5 on your Twitter dial. Jay Schultz in 2000. Classmate of assistant coach Jared Ty Lee, who was another one of the vaunted hound dog defensive backfield for the Bears that year with Jay Schultz and the Nugget, Jason Vincent, Jared Ty Lee, and Timmy Hamer. That way they were called the hound dogs because they'd hound you. You weren't going to get away. You weren't able to. They were good. They had a lot of speed. It's evidence they had won a state track event championship at the 4x4 relay. Those guys, Randy Seidel, was another one of the members. So they had a good team. Well, anyway, that's a great record.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that, you know, records are meant to be broken. But what's that tell us about the Bears special team? You already talked about Kendon's punting.
Yep.
It's you
huge.
Got to be a good team, Matt. You got to have special teams be successful.
Absolutely.
And the Bears do right now.
Yeah.
What the Bears went down, they scored them. Then it gets 3rd and 15. After that, what happened? 3rd and 15, the Bears are pinning. You know, they need a play there. The momentum was starting to roll the Bears' way. And then a crossing route from quarterback Dylan Cays. We told you If he rolls a little bit out, he can throw the short passes. Matt and I mentioned that last week in the podcast, and he's going to find a way to get the ball to Connor Shalista and Bryce Paul. He gets Bryce Paul on a nice corner route. Great blocking across the middle from the visitors from the home team side to the West Branch side. Mm-hmm. Cuts across and goes about 60 yards, setting up a scoring play about four plays later, Matt. It's 7-7, just like that. The momentum is all in West Branch's side. A big, big plays on play on defense.
I mean, that was a good drive by the Pirates. I mean, you mentioned that big slant pass, maybe that got them down to maybe the 25-yard line or so, and then there was another slant pass that got him down to, I think, the 2-yard line or something like that, and then two plays later, so they punched it in to tie it up at 7. So, Albert, I mean, as I said before, I was pretty impressed by Albert the way that they were able to string together plays to come up with some really good drives against this West Branch defense.
And we didn't talk about this last week, but Albert doing what they did this year with the adversity they had in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Let's think about that. You've got a head coach who was at North Cedar last year and moved to Albert to be their coach. Literally, like 15 minutes, not literally, but figuratively, in a matter of speaking, before the season starts, something happened. There were some issues, and he was removed from his position, or he resigned, I should say, from the position. And then high school principal Ken Casper, who's also the activities director, who is also now the football coach, he took over and had two assistant coaches. He said, guys, what are we going to do? Are we going to start something new? Or are we going to continue just with what we have going? So they kind of kept in what was going on. And what an outstanding job. When you have the football, we talked about it, Matt. Football coaches will tell you if they're just coaching, if the only thing you learn from them is that sport, then what?
They're not doing their job.
They're failing at the full spectrum of coaching. And, well, we talked about it today. I had the opportunity to be at the all-district voting. And it was wonderful. The coaches were all very nice. Everybody got along well. That's the beauty of district football. You don't see them on a day-to-day, sport-to-sport basis all the time, but you have a good relationship. And all the coaches I brought it up, and I said that what a great lesson that is. So with kids having to see certain things and then dealing with, wow, it's like you have a quarter, and now you got a penny. What are we going to do? We're going to make that quarter, turn it into a penny, and they did, and now they're in the playoffs. And hats off to Albert.
Turn the quarter into a penny?
Huh? A penny into a quarter. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they got 24 cents better as the season wore on. Instead of 1%, one cent every day almost, you know, right? Something like that. Poor analogy, but I tried. 24-14, the Bears, how they finished up the scoring, Matt. The score was 21-7 at halftime. How'd the Bears get their final? The two scores in the first half.
Well, I do want to mention in the first half, second quarter, I think it was like second and long. Koenig threw a beautiful pass to the northeast corner of the end zone to Shaver. Like, I mean, only where Shaver could catch it. Shaver was maybe a yard ahead. On the run, Shaver reached out and grabbed it, went into the end zone for a 30-yard touchdown. And that put the Bears up 14-7. It was a beautiful pass, and I'm surprised Shaver could see it just with all the fog and the mist.
And when you watch it back, well, actually, when I'm watching it live, I commented to Matt at halftime, or when I came over to the sidelines after that play, I said, that ball was thrown on time perfectly. Mm-hmm. Just as he was coming out of the break, he turns, takes one step,
there it is,
right in the breadbasket, baby. Yep. And it's there, 7, 8, 10 yards left to run it in, and he's right in the house. Mm-hmm. 14-7 after the extra point. Bears hold on defense, Matt. Mm-hmm. Final score, and then they have a nice long time-consuming drive at the end of the second quarter to make it 21-7. How'd that happen?
Lenock ran it in from about 3 yards out.
And he was untouched until he got about 3 yards into the end zone.
Yeah.
Lenock. We've talked about strong kids. We talked about his work in the weight room. Boy, did it pay off that night.
Yeah.
And we'll get to the stats later on that and tell you why. The conditioning of West Branch, we talk about their conditioning. We talk about the weight room. And it was on display that night, you know, in a hard-fought physical football game. 24-14, the final. We said 21-7 and a half. The Bears make it 24-7
in the fourth quarter
after a drive gets stalled inside the 10-yard line. Mm-hmm. Devin Kendon.
24-yard field goal.
24-yard field goal. Makes it 24-7. Then after that, the Bears, you know, they trade. The Bears and the Pirates trade drives off, punts off, and then The Pirates drive down later in the fourth with about, what, 3 minutes
to
go?
6 minutes.
6 minutes to go.
Yep. They score on another short touchdown run.
Yeah. And then the Bears actually tried to make a play. And that was after an interception, right? That play was after an interception.
Koenig interception.
Koenig actually threw a great – it was a great ball. I mean, it's Schaub's got about one – half a step to a step on Bryce Paul, the defender. And Koenig throws a great ball. And if it's another foot out, Matt's hand – Schaub's hands are there. But it was about a foot short, but it's in full stride.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's either going to be an interception or it was going to be a really long gain, possible touchdown situation.
Yeah.
And it just so happened, you know, the defender made a great play, and that set up their touchdown drive, Shalista.
Yeah, and that was a big, you know, points off turnovers kind of thing. And yep. Steven and I talked about that on the pregame that we had. That, you know, Albernett likes to force turnovers, and if they can get points off of those turnovers, they're going to keep it close. And they did 24-14 with 6 minutes left, you know.
How many points off turnovers did they have?
14.
14?
Yeah.
You got
it. Yep.
Two turnovers for West Branch, 14 points for the Pirates. So
how,
there it is.
Well, how?
Huh?
They didn't score in their first
Actually,
drive,
Actually, they
though.
Did. I think about not no, it was a No, they you're didn't. Right, they didn't.
It's only seven.
Because we fumbled on our first drive.
And they,
yeah, they scored the second drive on that long drive. So anyway, but still 7 to zip on that. But then 24-7, then, they scored like 24-14.
Yeah,
and then just traded off.
Yeah, and then traded, I mean, yeah, and then traded off a couple more times. And then with about 3 minutes left, the Pirates were, you know, trying to have that one final drive to inch closer again. And
Luke Lennock.
Well, yes.
Right, but, be Dylan Caves, the quarterback?
Yeah, Caves, sorry, yeah. Okay. Caves threw a ball up kind of towards the Albernett sideline, and it was kind of in between two. He had a guy cutting underneath, and he overthrew him, so I couldn't tell whether he was overthrowing the guy cutting underneath, or there was, I don't know whether it was, I don't know who was the other guy there on the sideline. Receiver that he was throwing to, but it was kind of just short of him and over the undercutting guy.
Well, if you look
it fell
your...
right into Lennock's breadbasket for an interception.
Yeah. Well, you look at your Avicii level. Take your Avicii levels. Look at that. There were levels of receivers.
Right.
He rolls out. He's got his fullback open about 5 yards in front of him. It looked like he was just trying to soft lob it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's deep. Paul's on the backside of him on the along
Maybe
the sideline.
5-7 yards
and Lennock
deeper.
Is between them. And,
yep.
You know, it was just a... A little bit too much on a should have. If he throws it, dumps it off to the guy, the drive might still be going.
Mm-hmm.
But to West Branch's advantage, it didn't.
Yeah.
And by the way, on that play,
yeah.
What a game changer it was. What else happened on that play? And it was the only time it happened all night.
There was a penalty.
On Albernett?
On Albernett.
Me. No
that
way.
That was their only penalty of the night.
And they didn't even need it.
Well, the first one was a legal procedure, kickoff out of bounds. So the refs have no choice to call that one.
That one doesn't count. Yeah, we don't really throw that one in the mix.
Right. So,
but
anyway, so then, so the Bears get the ball back with about 3 minutes left. You know, you got to get one first down to.
And, the
they did.
They had one timeout left, did the Pirates at that point.
Yep. And so West Branch had to get a first down just to be able to run out the clock. And. On a, I think it was a third down, Cooper Koenig kind of had a go-go and slid like half a yard short, I think, of the first down.
Yes.
To set up a fourth and short, and then I think Devin Kindon got a couple yards up the middle to kind of seal the deal.
It was actually
the deal.
Lennock off the, off,
was it
the
Lennock?
Left, off the left side, got 4 yards, and that was it.
Yeah, and
4 yards
sealed
and
the
a
deal
cloud of mud.
And a couple... Couple kneel downs by Koenig.
What do we call
and,
that wonderful formation?
Team rush.
The
victory formation.
Team rushes and the victory formation. It's my favorite formation.
Yes.
The victory formation, Matt.
Yep.
So and final score was
24-14.
24-14.
District champs. 9-0.
9-0 for how many times is that now?
Nine times.
How many times? Keep
1-0.
How many times have the Bears been?
Oh,
12, 9-0 in the regular 13.
Season?
Because last year was, I think Jason said 12 times on the highlight film last year. So that would make it 13 when you add one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. That's it for that regular season game. Statistically speaking, it was really a ground and pound. It wasn't one of Cooper Koenig's best night as throwing the football. 6 of 16, I think, for 85, 86 yards.
Yeah, I think he started
with that touchdown,
0 for 5.
He did.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw some good balls, though, too. He made throws when they needed him.
Mm-hmm.
When they needed the good throw, he threw one. That touchdown, he threw a great play. Nice touch route to Cooper Cobbler running along from east to west towards the West Branch sideline, made a great throw to the sideline, and great throw and catch by Matt Schauber to keep a drive going, which was the final scoring touchdown drive for West Branch. And, you know, he did a good job, but he really made some plays with his feet. All total, I think about 60 to 65 yards rushing. What do you have?
Schauber?
No.
Oh, Koenig?
Koenig.
He had 62.
So he probably, I mean, his average had to be up there pretty high on per carry. I mean, he had two or three.
Eight.
He had a couple shorter rushes, but then he really kept some drives alive with his feet, you know. And that's the extra attribute that he brings to the position. When something's breaking down, he makes the decision to run with it, and his speed can, like I said, a couple weeks ago against Bellevue, he takes about 10 yards per stride. So he makes up ground fast, and he did a great job. So congratulations for him. How about that for him? He and his team go 9-0 this year after he was on an 0-9 team. 9-9 in his high school career.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who that was post-game huddle. It was hilarious.
It was
though.
Funny. He's like, "Hey, Cooper, you're 9-9
You're 9-9
And to Cooper's credit, he said, "Thank you, but I look to go 14-9 but we'll start with 10.
Yep.
That was his exact comment right after that.
Coach, so congratulations. Coach Peterson kind of chuckled at that one.
Yeah, he even laughed at that one. So congrats to Coach Peterson and the Bears, district champions for a 13th time. And that puts them as a number one seed, Matt, moving on to the playoffs playing. Against the Columbus Junction Wildcats.
Junction,
who do we say
community?
They're going to play? Columbus Community, Columbus.
Who is it?
Columbus Community High School in Columbus Junction.
Yeah.
The Wild Kitties.
We'll just call them
Wild
Columbus.
Cats, baby.
For sure. We'll just call them Columbus.
And by the way, if you replay a clip from last week, which we won't do.
I know.
Who do we say we should mortgage the house on?
Columbus.
But we didn't, because you don't gamble on high school.
You don't gamble on kids.
You don't gamble on kids.
It's
but
just
we
morally
thought,
wrong.
It is. And
is it illegal?
What's morally right is that, you know, there's going to be a football game Wednesday, and it's against the team we thought they were going to play.
At the Little Rose Bowl.
At the Little Rose Bowl.
We knew that one.
And let me tell you something. When you think of Columbus Junction, all I want you to do is think of one guy. The whole team, it's a team. But you really need to think about one kid, because he can make that much difference. Number is 2. His name is Mauricio Ramirez. Now, let me tell you, this kid flat out is a game changer. They scored 68 points last Friday night in a district clinching victory over Eddyville, 68-22. He had 4 touchdowns. He's a running back. How many of those touchdowns were rushing the football?
4 of them.
0. He had a kick return touchdown, a punt return touchdowns, and 2 receiving touchdowns.
Wow.
4 touchdowns, not a single rushing touchdowns, and they put up 68 points. He can do it. So, Coach Kevin Crossweight, special teams coach, I can guarantee you right now, who's he not going to kick the football to if he has a chance on Wednesday night?
Ramirez.
Keep the ball out of Ramirez's hands. You control him. You can hold him down. You should be feeling pretty good about beating the Columbus Wildcats. They're smaller than the Bears online.
Who, by the way, are 3-6.
Who are, by the way, 3-6. 2-4 in district play, beating. They defeated West Marshall 68-22. And do you know who the other team they beat was, Matt?
Couldn't tell you.
I couldn't either. No, they beat. They actually beat Highland. So, was their other win,
which kept Highland out.
Kept Highland out of it. So, that's where we are. But you need to watch him. Other things to watch out. You know, guys, Carter Colby, I believe, is the quarterback name. Throws the football. I bet you can guess who he's probably going to look to most of the time when you watch on film. He's going to look for a guy wearing number 2. That's Mauricio. They're going to try to throw the ball to him. You want to try to get your playmaker's hands. They're a little smaller on the offensive line than West Branch. Most teams will be. I think where you're going to see West Branch is really going to dominate this game up front, Matt. And I mean, that's not trying to sound cliche from other games in West Branch wins and cliche to any football game, but it's really, I think, going to be on display. That's no offense to the Wildcats.
I mean, that's what's got us here.
That's the bread and butter of good football team.
Yep.
It's up front. 5 guys on offense, 4 guys on defense dominating. Mm-hmm. We didn't even talk about the wonderful performance somebody else had. One other kid had on defensive performance a kid had. But I bet we will later in the broadcast, or program rather. Stick with us. So, give us some final stats, Matt. We didn't really give all the stats. We talked about Koenig stats. Just go ahead and get into some of the other stats from.
Yeah, I'll just kind of go down the line here. So Cooper Koenig was 6 for 16 passing, 86 yards. But that was for 14 yards of completion, so not bad there. Rushing, Luke Lenock, 39 rushes, technically. I have a Jordan Kanziri kind of day. 187 yards for about 5 yards a carry. You know, you mentioned the conditioning thing. That's where that stands out at 39 attempts. That's against, you know, a pretty good defense. And two touchdowns.
And if you look back on that last drive when they needed those first downs, after the huddle's breaking, he's still leaned down. And you think, oh, what's wrong? But as soon as the ball gets to him, it's like,
go.
You just, boom.
Yep.
It's like the Tasmanian devil. Just go, 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 go. There's no break for that. That kid knows nothing but full speed ahead. Mm-hmm. And that's not good most of the time for defense trying to stop him. He's one of the hardest running kids I've ever seen.
Yep.
And you know, again, we're going to complement that offensive line, and which might be getting better as each game goes on. It's getting better and better, I think.
Which is, yeah, I mean, and not just physically better, but smarter, too. I mean, just learning the packages, and, you know, you've got – it's kind of a mixed-up offensive line just because without Drew in there and just some other things that happen. So it's not only just physically getting better, conditioning, strength-wise, but it's smarts as well, just – learning, just getting a better understanding of the offense. And I know the coaches put in new packages every week. So, I mean, but you learn the base and just keep getting better at the base, getting better at reading defenses.
Yes.
So it's this offensive line evolving is a big thing. So,
and as we overlook practice, this is the first podcast we've done that, Matt. Mm-hmm. Live at practice. Well, recording it. We are live recording it.
Live on digital.
Yeah, that's it. It's digital. It's not Memorex.
Not live on tape.
Yeah, so we're watching. There's a little right now. They're doing offensive tech work. You're going to have pass. We're looking at the field, looking towards West Branch. So we're looking field left to right would be north to south. In the south end, you're going to have the backs, the quarterbacks and receivers are going to be running routes, trying to get prepared against the defense. As to what Columbus Junction is going to be doing. In the north end of the field, you got all the offensive line and defensive linemen together working on tech. You've got.
Speaking of the linemen.
Yes.
We should try and get Drew Finnegan up here and talk.
Well, Drew Finnegan has mentioned no comment this week, but he will after.
Well, we should let him talk about it.
After we win on Wednesday, Drew has agreed to talk with us. After the game, when we record from Herb and Lou's, or from wherever we record from, he promised he would come talk to us again after the game like he did last year.
Perfect.
We'll bring a couple other guys with them, and we'll talk live. Well, not really live, but we'll record it for you folks. We'll have it quickly up on the website after we did the last, like Matt did last year. We'll do that, and then there's going to be a part B to that a little bit later in the night once we get hopefully the Bears win on Wednesday, who their second round opponent will be. Not assuming they're going to win, we're just hoping. When we're confident, we feel that if they play well, they should. Mm-hmm. They've got a good chance at winning.
Yep.
Right, just like we said last week.
Absolutely. So finishing up the stats here, running. We mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. Cooper Koenig, 8 rushing attempts, 62 yards, about 8 yards a carry. Devin Kindon also had 7 rushing attempts for 30 yards, 4 yards a carry. Receiving, Matt Shauver led the way with 2 receptions and 40 yards and a touchdown. Cooper Cobla, 2 receptions, 31 yards. Aaron Barnes, 1 reception for 7 yards. And Wargo, 1 reception for 8 yards. Defensively.
No.
Yeah. Total tackles went to Hunter Wargo.
Yes. Well, like what, 7?
7.5. Cale Donovan, 6. My pick to click. Shauver, 4.5.
4.5. How many?
Aaron Barnes, 6 tackles, too.
Anybody have 3 tackles, total tackles?
3 total?
Yeah.
Jake Evans, you did.
What else did he do?
He also had 3 sacks.
Solo sacks. So all 3 of those were solo sacks. Mm-hmm. My pick to click. We'll get to that later. So, anyway, we got that covered. We had one, I think, what's his name? I think Devin Kindon kicked the ball very well positionally. Mm-hmm. Albernette had short field. I don't think any more on kickoffs any better than about the 33 all night long.
He only had 2 punts.
Huh? No, he had more than 2 punts, I thought.
According to Quickstats.
Seems like it.
2 punts.
2 punts.
34 yards a punt.
I don't ever question.
Aaron Barnes, 3 punt returns, 73 yards. That 25 per return.
He is averaging over 23 yards a punt return. If I'm a coach, what are you doing? kicking a ball to that kid?
I know.
I don't care where he's from.
But Shauver can do it too, because Shauver had a good return as well.
Showtime was back in town, 46
yards,
baby.
46 yards. He had that NASCAR thing off the...
Yeah, he went off the hill and tried the pass on the outside. You can hold if you come off turn four. Days of Thunder. You're welcome. So that's it. That's stats. 24-14 is the important stat. 9-0. 1-0 nine times.
Back at the Little Rose Bowl.
Wednesday
night.
And by the way, sorry, you know me. I'm a stats guy once in a while. Here's a fun stat.
Okay.
District ending stat for you. Mm-hmm. Here's a... Think about this.
Okay.
West Branch was the only team that had two players average at least two touchdowns that they account for in each game, in every district game. Two players for West Branch averaged two touchdowns that they personally account for or help account for as it pertains to a quarterback. Luke Lenock rushed for 1,081 yards and had 16 touchdowns in district games. Six district games. That's almost three touchdowns a game.
In district games. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Cooper Koenig passed for just over 800. I think it was 802 or 80-something in district games and ran for 302. So he accounted for just over almost 1,200 yards, actually, as I do the math again. I think it was a little bit closer to 850 in district games. Had 13 passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns, 15 touchdowns. He passed for averaged two touchdown passes per game in district. So two guys accounted for four touchdowns per game. That's not accounting for when Devin Kennett took it into the end zone, where Aaron Barnes had a punt return for a touchdown. That's it. I mean, that's pretty cool. Pretty neat statistic. Or when Brother Bear, Brandon Rummelhart's throwing to my main man, Stika. All day. Jacob Stika.
So season stats, Cooper Koenig, 1,328 passing yards.
1,625 is the record if you're wondering home.
Yep. So that could come
possibility.
Up. Possibility. Could come up Wednesday. Rushing, Luke Lenock, 1,523 yards.
2,105 yards the record if you're counting at home. And
that's Luke
that?
Lenock.
Lenock, last year.
Was that through 10? Or that was through 11?
That's 11.
Through 11?
He's going to be, he's just behind pace, actually.
He could be knocking on the,
got 24.
Depending on how far the Bears go.
Yes. You know. He's got 22 touchdowns.
And then Matt Shauver receiving 409 yards was the team leader.
Has seven receiving touchdowns, which is two shy of Ricky Riley's season record of 9.
Jeez.
Caleb Walters.
All sorts of records.
Cooper Koenig has 17 touchdowns passing. Mm-hmm. The record is 20 by Caleb Walter. Same year Ricky Riley had 9. In 9 games. I don't care. Record's a record.
I know.
I know if he breaks it, we might hear from somebody on that. But that's a different conversation. They're all wonderful things and accomplishments.
And then
all
man,
part of great Bears teams.
My man, Cale Donovan.
No, he wouldn't lead the team.
84 tackles.
That's it?
Yep.
9 tackles a game?
Yeah, that's about 9 tackles.
See, the thing is now, tackles are different than what they used to be. If you had an assist, it used to count as just a tackle. It used to be in the old days.
So I think I am adding this up via total tackles. That's solo plus.
Oh, really?
Half for a assist.
Okay. Back in the day, the half was a 1. If you had an assist, you were in on a dive, you got 1
that's
tackle.
Okay. Isn't that stupid? So my calculation here is 1 tackle for a solo, okay. Half a tackle for an assist.
That's the way it should be.
That's the way it's counted.
That's the way I'm counting. Right, brother?
Yep.
That's it. Those are the stats. And this is going to be your favorite part of the show.
Well,
what?
A couple
what?
Other stats here, too.
What?
I think are pretty good.
Give them up.
41 points per game. That went down because we only scored 24. Points allowed per game, about 12. 405 yards per game. We are
the
West Branch offense. 205 allowed. 156 passing yards a game. About 250 rushing yards a game. And 78% on fourth down.
And that went down from last week, didn't it? Or did it go up? No, it went up because we were 1-for-1. Or 2-for-2.
We were 2-for-2. Yeah, so it did go up. I think it was like 75% or 73 or something.
So that's it.
Oh, well.
Okay.
There's our update on stats.
That is the full statistical update.
9 games.
Well, let's do me a favor real quick. Since we're on stats and I talked about Ramirez, pull up quick stats real quick and let's look at his Columbus Junction stats. If you go to our page, I've already got their team already put in there. Columbus Junction's name, so we can just hyperlink to the page, I guess. We'll figure it out.
I got to go back here.
Statistical information is so much fun for all you number geeks and fun and cronies out there. Printable season stats. Ramirez.
Yep.
This is bad. There it is. Matt, what's he got rushing? About 7,000 carries?
He has 200 attempts.
For how many yards?
1,360.
So that's about 7 yards. He's got 15 touchdowns. Seven. Now, you got to understand, this is on a team with that won 3 games that probably doesn't have an offensive line that some of the top 10 teams have, you know? This is a team that won 3 games, and he's got 1,400 yards rushing. The quarterback, Colby's, has over 1,000. By the way, I was looking back at this. I mean, last week we talked about the 1,000-yard passer-rusher thing. Mm-hmm. I might have been wrong. I think West Branch was the only one at that point. I looked back again. And now there are only 3 or 4. And Columbus Junction is one of them. Has a 1,000-yard passer in Carter Colby. 14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
17.5 yards of completion.
17.5 yards of completion. Go down to receiving. I'll bet you who's leading that team in Ramirez. Receiving yardage. Yeah. 18 receptions. Jeez. Doesn't lead it. But 370 yards. 20.6 yards
that's,
a catch?
That's so what's crazy about this, he has as many yards as Lannock does rushing and just about as many yards receiving as Shaver does, yeah. Two of our team leaders.
He's got 22 touchdowns, which is the amount of touchdowns Luke does just rushing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the kid is a play. Man, go down to return yards and stuff. I guarantee you he's got like 5 return touchdowns. Keep going on that page. I guarantee it. Just to
make I he guarantee scoring it's close. Too. 156 points he's accounted for.
He's got a bunch.
And he also has 32 tackles.
Solo tackles. He's got a bunch.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going down to the special teams. This is fun. We're having fun with this. Sorry about that, kids at home. Kickoff return.
He
Mauricio
punts
Ramirez.
Too.
He punts. One punt. He all has right.
30 yards
of return. He
averaged
30 yards of kickoff return. He has 3 touchdown returns. Jesus. So I was wrong. He only has 4 returns. Yes. He's only returned 2 punts because teams are smart. Because 2 punt returns for 81 yards, 40.5.
Wow. That's crazy.
1 touchdown. So that's it. We're done stats. Let's move on to some fun.
Yes. So score predictions. You took 42-13.
Yes.
I think I took 49-21 or something like that. We both were off.
We were off. Who else wrote in, though? I mean, there's got to be somebody closer. New guy? Which, okay, as you're looking for these scores, you all right?
Yeah, I, so.
Somebody wrote in, but you forgot it.
Well, no, so I, in case you haven't noticed, and you will when you go to listen to this, there's a new website design.
Yes, there is.
And I think that wiped out the
old score post
comments.
I think if I
actually
recall,
no, it will not. I just need to add
35-14. By the way, is I think what Brandon Lukowski 35-14 or 35-7 is what he said.
Okay.
The new guy. Let me tell you something about the new guy while you look this up.
Okay.
The new guy is no longer the new guy. He's now the old guy because he's the new guy at Regina. He's over at a football game the other night running the chain gang for them. So he's no longer, he's not even a new guy at West Branch anymore.
Yeah.
He's old. So, he's moving new.
Sideline Tommy told us to be sure to give him some crap.
Yeah.
About that.
That's But what's that tell you? He just roots where he's planted. The new guy is all about serving. He's service oriented.
He hasn't become ingrained enough in the West Branch community yet, oh, that he still feels a need to go to some other community.
Yeah. Does he not realize what's going on with that?
That's crazy.
It paints a bad picture for yourself when all you do is you're going to get called every night. We need you to run the chain gang over here at Council Bluffs. All right. I'm on my way.
Did he used to live there?
No.
No.
He's just, I'm saying, he'll go anywhere. So, important.
We'll just pause it here.
We'll just not worry about it for this week.
If no, you we got to worry about it. I'll get it.
No, I want Matt to get in trouble again by Gregory Nordfleet. That was beautiful. He had to email you a score.
Yeah,
Matt.
He was upset. All right, so I finally found it here, Jay.
Okay.
We had one person write in.
One email?
Well, not even an email. It was just a comment. One comment.
One comment.
From Brandon, 35-7.
Was I right? I got that one right. Who's his pick-to-click?
Pick-to-click was Barnes.
All right, we'll get to that one.
So I think Brandon won.
Brandon wins that.
Brandon won.
New guy. Old guy.
For at least a score.
It's the postseason. It's time to pick up your game, folks.
So pick-to-click, though, I think you got this one.
We'll get there. My pick-to-click last week was Jake Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Not Jake Barnes. Jake Evans.
I had Cale Donovan.
Cale Donovan. Jakey promised me week 9 3 sacks. He got 3 solo sacks, one of which he gets in. Caves is elusive. You're going to have to hit the guy. You're going to have to hold on, and he's going to get away. He starts to slip out. Jake Tripp reaches back, trips him down. I mean, it was beautiful. Beautiful thing. Jake Evans, you didn't do me wrong, brother. No, I didn't do us. You played a championship level performance on a championship team who all played 9 games to win a championship. And here we go. Moving on. This week's score, Columbus Junction, the Wildcats. It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. You ever seen Wildcats, the movie? Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson?
I have not seen that.
Oh, boy, it's a good one. Who do you think, Matt, in your heart of hearts, in your infinite wisdom, who do you think is going to win this football game Wednesday? By how much and why?
West Branch, 42. Ramirez, 7. There's going to be one play that he gets in the end zone.
42-7, all right.
I don't know how it's going to happen, but he's going to get in there.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to say 49-0.
That was my other thought.
You know what? Let's go 7. I better say 7, because even at the end, when your team, you know, hypothetically, one team's up in the playoffs, it's not like the regular season where you probably bring a bunch of guys in. You might leave him in there to score again. Unbelievable sometimes, you know, some things that are going on in life, and some of those are trying to figure out what a score is, and that's what our score was, 49-7 me, 42-7 Matthew.
Your pick to click.
But my pick to click this week, all bets are off from previous picks. When you're in the playoffs, you can pick whoever you want as many times as you want. Well, I know we can pick, it's a new season.
I know.
So we can pick certain guys again.
I know.
I guarantee you that there's going to be one guy that's going to have a big night.
Yep.
Guarantee it. And that's why I'm going to pick him to click.
Double L's?
You know, I'm going to let you have him. I'm going to go Showtime's back in town for me. Matthew Shaver. He's going to have a big night.
Okay.
So.
I think
he's going to have a couple of receiving touchdowns. Here. He's going to break that record.
Break that record. I'm going to go Aaron Barnes.
Aaron Barnes. 2 wide receivers, 2 defensive back / linebacker, 2 return men.
Yes. And I think that's the key here. Aaron's due for another return touchdown.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Take it to the house. Hey.
On a punt.
Take it to
the house. He's going to do it.
Huh?
He's going to do it on a punt. Well, and receiving.
Well, if you're looking ahead,
mm-hmm.
like some of us do,
yep.
We look ahead.
Okay.
And looking at your weather dial, I know Tuesday there is a 100, and I mean that like full. The Weather Channel is saying 100% chance of rain on Tuesday. On Wednesday,
more rain, right?
Windy with showers at times, high of in the mid-50s, low in the upper 30s, so it's going to be cool. So there's some rain. The field might be a little bit wet, but I don't think it's going to play a point where there's going to be, and it's going to be hard enough that it's going to be that big of a deal that's going to slow it down. So that's the forecast for the week.
How about another looking ahead here, Jay? Hypotheticals.
Hypothetical. Oh, you want me to give you a projection?
Have you sorted this out yet?
No way have I looked forward. Okay, maybe I have. Sorting it out is a little bit difficult because one game, believe it or not, one game last week in the center portion of Iowa mm-hmm. throws off all my crystal ball that I had going.
Okay.
By the way, I had 32 teams listed. I had 31 of them correct 2 weeks in advance that I thought would make the playoff. 31 out of 32, I was pretty happy with that. That's not patting my own back. That's just saying that this is kind of fun to work on. The day before Friday, which would have been Thursday if you're checking your calendar.
Yes.
October 22nd.
Yes.
22nd, Rain Man. I needed to check it out again to see if I wanted to change things. I had West Branch playing mm-hmm. Columbus Junction. We both did. I think last week we talked about that. But in the second round, I am at one game where I think the winner of that game plays the winner of the West Branch game, I think is what it might dial it come down to. Sigourney Kyoto is hosting Hudson, and I think the winner of that game is who the Bears will play
in the second round
Monday, November 2nd.
And this is because of
geographical
closeness
for one. Mm-hmm. Closeness. I mean, Albernett is going to be a possibility if they can pull the upset by numbers, by seeding on Southwind. They're in there as well because
that's
after
true.
The first round, the
district teams can play.
But well,
but number one
there,
teams.
There
cannot.
Are two district matchups in 1A in the first round, just because when you're in Northwest Iowa, you're so far away
right.
from everybody
they have
else.
To do it. Yeah.
So Western Christian, number one seed in District 1 or 2, it is playing West Lyon, who's a 4 seed. You're thinking, wow, West Lyon's a 4 seed because they have so much program history. They've graduated a ton over the last couple of years. They've taken some lumps from some teams that have.
Every team's graduated a ton.
Every team has a ton over the last few years. Probably
it happens
probably
every
40,
year.
Probably 20, 30, 40 kids have graduated from each team over the last 43 years combined when you really look at it. But that breaks the mold on when they say they'll do their best and probably not have you play a district team. But that's who I think, Matt. I think that's going to be
involved.
I would
love to play Sigourney.
That'd be fun. Lee Crawford, man, has become a friend of mine, the activities director down there. We had him on the halftime show last year of the Bearcast. I guarantee if it's again, we'll have him on there
again.
You know
what? It's just...
It's a fun rivalry.
It's a fun rivalry.
It's
just because both fan bases are just... Like they're positive.
They're both
fan
cray
bases.
Cray for Cocoa
well,
Plus for
too.
Their team.
That too, but like, you know, players on either team, they just go out and play the game. Like there's not any extracurriculars going on with shoving and words and all that kind of stuff. Like they're just good classic football games. Both good fan bases, good teams, good tradition and history in both programs. So it's all I always love when we play. Sigourney.
Yeah, it is. Mr. Greiner, his son's the quarterback. He does the play-by-play announcing. Well, I don't know if his son being the quarterback, if he's still going to do that or not for their radio broadcasts. Mm. But, you know, they've got a great fan base and, you know, great small farming communities of Sigourney and Keota. So if I had to bet, Matt, I would say Hudson's a 3 seed up there to the north in District 4. Boy, that district, like we mentioned before, yeah. Dyke New Hartford's the number one in that district, lost to the number 4, Jessup. Southwind's 2,
mm-hmm.
who Hudson lost to 14-12. Southwind is playing Albernett. Southwind is, let me tell you right now, if you want Southwind of last year where Logan Schweinfuss, or I think that's how you pronounce his name, threw it to Jordan Ramos, graduated, they're probably not going to throw to each other. Schweinfuss back, got hurt.
Mm.
I mean, that's an all-state quarterback, got hurt. So, you're going to see them throw 2 to 4 times a game, period. That's it. They're not going to throw it. They're going to run. So, Albernett, if you can stop the run, one thing that we saw they did well, I mean, they limited Lenoch to just 6 yards of carry, just
four,
shy of four
five,
or 5 yards of carry.
5 yards of carry, yeah.
Guys averaging 10.
Yeah.
I mean, so they can play some defense, period.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're going to try and run at Albernett, you better bring the wood. Because they can block the gap, the gap runs. They can block if you let them bounce outside. Somebody get outside. That's where you can get some extra yards on Albernett. But at the first level, they're pretty good pad to pad. And then I guess if you look at another game in our district, we're looking at
Wilton
playing Pella Christian. Wilton, I hope their pass defense is ready to roll, because David Kakmarinski is going to throw to Levi Youngling all night. And then he's going to try it again tomorrow. And when you're dreaming that night, he's going to be throwing the ball still. He's thrown for almost 2,500 yards. This is a kid that last year as a sophomore was an all-state linebacker. 6'3", 228. I think you're going to see him playing defense for the black and gold someday. I just do. Hmm. I think the Hawks have to be looking at that kid as an athlete. At some point, he's going to get it. I think he'll get a scholarship from the Hawks. That's just a projection. But they better be ready to play. If they can defend and get a pass rush on Kakmarinski, make him force him to make some bad decisions, Wilton can stay in the game. Hopefully, they're back to health. Javon Drake has been nursing a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but he can change a game. Matt, we saw the way his arm strength can change a game with Reifert and Navarro and Ovison. If they can stay in it at home, got the Beaver faithful.
Yep.
I don't know. It's going to be fun. But Bellevue playing Regina.
Yeah, Bellevue's the other game.
That's a David and Goliath. If they said that West Branch in the Des Moines Register today says that David and Goliath game in the state is West Branch and Columbus. I think Bellevue is more of a David and Goliath than that.
Absolutely.
That, unfortunately, Bellevue, Coach Kinnick, he's a great guy. I mean, it's just outmatched. I mean, let's just call it out. Call it the way you see it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it, man. That's It's our district breakdown. That's our breakdown. What else? What else is there?
I think that's it. I mean, the Cubs
we're in a new press box. I don't know if this, where the songbooks go here, but somebody want to pick those up? All right. They're picking them up.
Yep.
Songbooks are being passed in as we speak. The computers will be locked down. We're going to put the microphones down. You know why? Listen. That's why.
Oh, that's I hear it.
You hear it this time.
I hear that.
Last week you didn't, baby.
I didn't hear it, but
I hear it now.
You know
what that means.
Because I know what to listen for now.
Now you hear it. Kids out on the field right now, they're hearing it too.
Yep.
Implicitly, they're hearing it right now. They're jumping up and down. It's kickoff time, baby. Avicii's in the house. Kickoff time. But before that, we thank you for listening to
the Talking Bear Football Podcast on westbranchfootball.com.
Take care, everyone.